whoa. She, I didn't, did she just announce to you that she's recording?
Yep. She warned me so I could put, so I could behave.
Oh, I didn't know it did that. All right, so this is always like the most awkward part, just so you know, because it's very hard just to, I always tell people this, it's very hard just to dive into an interview like in the middle. So give me just a second to collect my thoughts, and then I'm gonna start rolling.
Yeah, 3 seconds.
Oh, so you gave me 3 seconds and then I was feeling the pressure. So welcome into my guest. No, I don't want to go in like that. I feel like when I roll in, I'm just going to have to roll in. All right.
Near and far, from nation to nation, bringing the stories of everyday people. Welcome back to the Trent Speaks podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to yet another week of the Trent Speaks podcast. I wonder through 102 episodes now, I wonder how many times I've said welcome back. But it is true, you are here and I appreciate each and every one of you for listening. As I mentioned last week, please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. It's so fun to say. I don't know why. It just flows so well together. But the other thing I was thinking about this past week, because a buddy of mine texted me and said, hey, besides Trent Speaks, do you have any podcast recommendations? So it would also be a huge help if you could share Trent Speaks when you see people asking for podcast recommendations to help get the name and the brand and the podcast out there. So thank you in advance. This week, I did promise you a guest, and so I am going to deliver on that promise. Welcome in my good friend, Kyle. Kyle, welcome into the Trent Speaks podcast.
Not welcome in, it's welcome back, Trent.
Welcome back. Did we talk before? Am I forgetting this?
Yes, we've done one before. I don't really remember the details of it, but I know I've done this before.
You remember him on the podcast? What did we talk about? Leanne doesn't remember either, but she's yelling from the other room because these walls are essentially pieces of paper. She's like, yeah, he's been on the podcast before. Kyle, this is a first. This is a first because typically when I have guests back, I remember that they've been on the podcast. Not to say you're not memorable, but usually I'm like, oh yeah, so-and-so was on and they were episode whatever. I'm going to have to go back and look now.
It was not an impactful interview, I guess, the first time.
I'm going to have to
find it too throughout this.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look while we're chatting and everything too. I can't believe Leanne's yelling some. Leanne, what are you yelling? Why do you feel uncomfortable? What's awkward? Oh, she's saying because I forgot about you, she thinks it's awkward now.
She should know better with me.
Yeah, it's Leanne. Who knows?
I'm the guy who got an oil change in striped socks and plaid Crocs. So,
Kyle, we're both drinking beers. I have a classic, because it wouldn't be a Trent Kyle interview without us drinking beers together. I have a classic Goose Island 312. Here, the first time I said it when I ordered it, I said, can I have a Goose Island 312? And the waitress looked at me and she goes, what? The 312? And I was like, yeah, I didn't realize that they're weird here. And you have to say it specifically, but yeah, 312 is good. But I was going to say, yeah, Goose Island does have good beer. They also have my buddy Adam, I think it's called Solo. Goose Island has a really good Local, I think it is, IPA, which Local, it's actually really good though. So
that the Solo, so low calories.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then yeah, it is Local. Yeah.
Their Christmas IPA was the one that I was buying six pack after six pack of this Christmas season too.
Yeah. And I remember you sending me photos of that and then I never ended up buying it, but you said it was really good, right?
It was delicious. It's very rare I buy a craft beer. I wouldn't say multiple times, but many times in a row. Like that's all I bought for a while.
Well, and you're not drinking craft beer right now.
No, I'm not sure. Stella is what I'm drinking. I'm not going to try the second part.
Stella Domestic?
11 point. It's from Belgium, so I don't think so.
Oh. Well, I just see it a lot, so it feels like a domestic at this point.
We should tell Goose Island to sponsor you from all those shout-outs we just gave them.
Like, yeah, seriously. And Stella.
I'd rather have Goose Island as a sponsor for you. But I'm sure anyone's
better. Oh, yeah. You and me both, especially being in this area.
For all your listeners out there.
Well, Kyle, let's dive in to conversations. Oh, you know what? I think we've talked about hockey before.
Yeah, and that was part of the title of episode 64 was Detroit sports. So it wasn't just hockey. It was just Detroit in general.
You found it.
Detroit sports, Carol Baskin and children, episode 64.
Oh, yeah, I should have went back and listened. That's typically what I would do when I have a repeat guest on.
That's all right.
You know what? It's all right. Yeah, it's always all right because you have different people here now. Yeah. And so maybe they didn't listen to that episode and exactly. We want to give them fresh content.
And I'm even going to re-listen to it because I want to know what Carol Baskin has to do with their first interview.
Yeah, I want to re-listen to it now too. We should just stop this and listen to that and record later. But we're not going to because Kyle and I have been trying for a while to connect. But sometimes it's hard when you are a parent. And so one of the topics I wanted to talk with Kyle about was from partying to parenting. Kyle and I, as mentioned in episode 64, I'm not even going to say probably because I know it would have been. Kyle and I know each other from college. Kyle, let's be honest. You loved your alcohol. I'm not going to say beer because it was alcohol in general. Specifically, you loved your, what was it? Vodka Red Bulls?
Vodka Red Bulls. I still love them. I'm just not allowed to drink them anymore.
Yeah, those are so bad for you. And two,
they were just so good. Yeah, that's where you wanted to go real fast because they were so good. You could drink them like water.
I'm thinking about like the Doghouse, the Rover, Vera, all the main places in Marquette and some of the places, yeah, that aren't even there anymore.
Yeah, I think the Rover is something else. I think
it is. Yeah, I know for sure Rover is something else. Vera Bar isn't called Vera Bar anymore, I don't think.
No, it's something. I want to say it's something weird. I mean, I didn't even call it the Vera Bar. We called it Skeet Skeet.
Oh, yeah, you did have a different name for it. I do remember that now.
Shout out to Jake.
So, Kyle, talk to me, though, about what that transition was like into parenting and how you feel like parenting has really changed who you are and how you operate.
Well, since we were talking about Marquette and the Vera or the Skeet Skeet, the first thing that comes to mind is I would never step foot in that establishment again after, I don't know, 11:30 p.m. as a parent, just because the Vera was where you went when your night was winding down and you had to just kill the night. And it's not a fun sight. So as a parent, I would not go there. But overall, it's definitely changed who I am being a parent. Don't get me wrong, I still like to go out and have a good time, but you think a lot more about those hangovers the next day as a parent, I guess, is the first thing that pops to mind, because I can't just come home and go to bed and wake up and fight through the next day and go get Taco Bell. You get your few hours away or however many hours away you get when you have a babysitter. When you come home, you've got to put parent hat back on, dad hat back on. So that's definitely changed me a lot. Plus, I mean, I just don't have the energy for it anymore. It's not something I love to do, the partying lifestyle anymore. Like if you came over, I would much rather stay at my house, drink some beers, play cribbage, listen to some music versus go out. And if we do go out, like I want it to be like where you and I went when I lived in Kaukauna, that just
chill. I was just thinking about that.
Like craft, I don't know, it's not craft beer bar because they serve more than beer, but like a crafty, like, I don't want to say hippie bar, but kind of is.
Yeah, it kind of is because I had a, and I would not get it again. But I had an old fashioned flight. So it was four different old fashions. The only reason I wouldn't get it again is because the flavors were not that good. Spectacular.
See, now, as of the past month, I guess my partying side has come up more because we went to Taylor's coworker's birthday, and then we went to Taylor's work party, both of which were at bars, and one of the husbands there was drinking an old-fashioned. Still don't know how it's made, but I liked it. So whenever I'm with him, I feel like my party side comes up more because overall, now that I'm a dad, I'm a beer drinker. I drink just to like relax and unwind for the day and kind of have some me time. But when me and this guy get together, I don't know how he makes his old fashioned. So I'm like, I need to get one. I'll pay for it, but tell the bartender what I want, 'cause I don't even know.
Yeah. But that's a different, and let's draw the line here, because that to me is a different type of partying than a college partying basically.
Oh yeah. I mean, college partying, we've done our fair share of it. It's, but you start at, I don't know, what, 7, 8, doing your pre-gaming so you can, you're drunk
maybe
before you
6.
Go. Maybe, depending on the day. And then you go out and you just kind of bar hop until you run out of money or you can't walk anymore or a combination of the two. Or if you make it all night and they tell you you got to go home, which now that I'm a parent, I don't think I could do anymore. I mean, my bedtime is at the latest 11.
Okay, I was just going to say that. Isn't it crazy? Because I feel like this happens. Isn't it crazy how often we used to stay up and close down the bars, or pretty damn close to closing down the bars? But I feel like now, anytime we're out, like, and again, not that this is very often, but anytime we're out past midnight, we're like, oh my gosh, this is so late. And I think even like 11 o'clock is late, but I feel like there have been times in my head, I can hear some of those moments where I've said, gosh, I don't remember the last time we stayed out this late. Was it college?
I couldn't tell you the last time I was. You said past midnight. Literally in the past 365 days, I think the only time I've been up past midnight other than with children is New Year's, just to watch the ball drop. And then that ball dropped at midnight. I'm like, all right, I've suffered enough. I need to go to bed. I think when we went out for Taylor's work party, by 10:30, not only was I exhausted, I was my fair share of drunk. But like, I was done. Like 10:30 was my cutoff. 'Cause like, she goes to bed at 9. I generally go to bed at 10. And if I'm in an endless pit of TikTok, it's generally 11. But that's my new parenting, is once everyone's in bed, just sitting on my phone TikToking for however long I can handle.
Yeah, TikTok is definitely a time waster. And I've been trying to not get stuck in the loop for as long as I have previously. That's for sure.
I'm failing for my month of being at home with Reese. It's my average screen time report last week came in. It was 6 hours and 8 minutes for the day.
Oh yeah. I don't remember what mine was. All I remember is when I see, like, if it tells me it went up a percentage or down a percentage, and I'm like, oh, I want to keep that going down, not going up 25% or whatever the heck it may say.
Uh-huh. But circling back to partying, I mean, it's something that I miss it to a point, because I mean, it's fun, especially what, like, up in Marquette, there's friends that will probably never, ever get together again, which sucks to think about, but it's true, just because jobs or you're married and now you have to follow your spouse's schedule or kids or just a combination of those things. It's just about impossible to get everyone's schedules together. So I do miss that aspect of it, because it was so fun to go downtown Washington Street with whoever you're going downtown with, but you know you're going to see more people than just the people you're going out with. Where now, I mean, I don't know if it's the same for you where you guys live, but if I went out, I might run into my cousins that live around here, maybe a couple coworkers, but you don't go down and see a bunch of friends. So that's the part I really miss about the party and college lifestyle.
Well, and like you said, schedules don't always line up. So we've been talking with our buddy Jake recently about finding a time that we should all get back together again, because the last time him and I had come up and he had made the comment a week or so ago that it was before your first daughter was born, and now you're on daughter number two. So yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Like, schedules do make it very difficult. And that's not something I've ever thought about when you talk about going out to the bars and running into people, you know, but now that you make that comment, that does ring very true, that it, even back home in Michigan, when I'm visiting, that's not something that comes up where I have more friends and everything. I'm not just running into people randomly. And if it is, it's a huge deal. Whereas in college, it wasn't as big of a deal, but it still felt cool to connect and be like, all right, where are you guys going? Where are we going? And kind of figuring out where the night's going to go.
Right. I think that was the fun of it is, okay, you go out, you have your plan, but then once you're there and you run into people, the night can go in a completely different direction. And that's not a bad thing. Those are probably some of the best nights, when you go out with your plan and then you run into someone and then plans change and you end up at the Ore Dock and you're trying to get sangrias at a bar that doesn't even sell sangrias. And that's my probably best going out memory from my partying days, was at the Ore Dock. For those who don't know, it's a craft beer. I think that's all they sell, is their own craft beer.
Yeah.
And they have a beer.
Well, they have seltzers and stuff now that they make, but yes, it's only their stuff.
Oh, the new hip Ore Dock. Back exactly. In the day when we were young, all they had was their beer, and it was, I loved their Saison, but I had a fair share of my shared pitchers, and I went up to the bar and tried to get a sangria, and the guy's like, we don't make those here. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want a Saison, not a sangria. That's like my go-to college party story. That's appropriate for
I've never heard that before.
It was Jake, and I don't know if you know who Tara was, but we'd go out to Ore Dock every Sunday because Best Buy closed early.
I was gonna say, from Best Buy, yeah.
And we'd just take turns buying pitchers, and I tried doing that. I almost fell over walking out of the bathroom because I was so drunk. It was a good night, and it was only like, I mean, Best Buy closed at what, like 6 on Sundays.
Something so like that.
Later than probably 8 or 9. And I was already like 2 sheets in the wind. It was one of my favorite college memories, other than the crazy ones.
Yeah. And say again, it all comes back to the memories that you were able to make and all those different experiences.
We're going up to Marquette in 2 weeks to see Trevor and Whitney. And hopefully, you know, I just don't know how that's logistically going to work with 4 children under the age of 3. Like, who's going to be the sacrificial lamb that stays home and watches the kid? I can tell you it won't be me.
There might be a little bit of fight there, but hopefully it's not.
I'm trying to talk Taylor into leaving the girls here so we can at least not have to worry about our kids.
Right.
If we're going to make the 3.5-hour trip, I'd really like for both her and I to get out there.
Yeah. And, Marquette's changed so much too. And that's something I've talked with someone about. I don't know if it was on the podcast or off, but I've had that conversation with a few different people now, as Marquette has changed. And I think in some ways for the better, I think in some ways not for the better. I know that there are coffee shops everywhere you turn left and right now. Really? I think in terms of a way it did not change for the better is that there are a lot more, I think, and I was just talking with someone about this. If we had went to college today in Marquette, we would have a very different experience than when we had went to college. Leanne and I were just saying, and I had said to Leanne, I said, I feel like when we attended NMU, we attended in its prime, because now, and this was a couple of years ago, but we used to be able to hammock on Presque Isle. And then shortly after we left, they said, no, you can't use hammocks on Presque Isle anymore. Why? You used to bring your dog everywhere. Now you can't bring dogs a lot of places. Gosh, there's something else that
I didn't know this
had changed. Oh, we kind of started to see this toward the end of our time there. But remember, you used to never have to have a park pass for like Hogback or for Sugarloaf. And then they started to say, oh, wait, you actually have to have a rec pass through the Michigan DNR
really?
In order to park in these parking lots. Yes. So we attended in its prime, I feel like, before a lot of that stuff started to take over, because I know that Marquette has been very built up because of how popular it's been in terms of a lot of like the list nationally it's been on for how beautiful and wonderful it is.
I did not know all this. I mean, I haven't been there in, I don't know. I couldn't even tell you. Probably the last time I was there was for a wedding. No, we went there with Ellie to Trevor and Whitney's for a weekend, but it ended up snowing in October. So all of our fall plans got ruined. So we kind of just stayed in for the weekend. But even just walking campus, like, it feels like it's trying to be more than it needs to be. Like, I walked campus and I didn't feel like I was at like a small to medium college in the UP, university in the UP. I felt like I was at a university in the UP that was trying to be like a big city university. And it's obviously not that. Like, the dorm rooms don't look like dorm rooms. They look like luxury.
Yeah, that's a whole different story. I could go off on that all day.
I'm sure you could.
They're beautiful though. Like, don't get me wrong. They're gorgeous, but yeah, they are nothing compared to what we had and the experience we had. I don't think
we walked through the main floor of them, but we didn't like want to go up the stairs and actually look at the rooms. We just kind of, I feel like it was just a joined hallway through a bunch of the, what do they call them? Halls to get to the MP. And that's all we saw, but we didn't see anything super special. I just remember vending machines everywhere. Like, they had an excessive amount of vending machines in them. Like, yeah, you got to pay for these fancy buildings somehow, I guess.
Yeah, I remember when shortly after they had opened, Leanne was up there for some reason. I don't know if she was up there for a bachelorette party or what she was up there for, but a student had, you know, as all students do, had let Leanne in through a locked door. And Leanne was like, oh, like, you know, I graduated from here and I was just curious, like, what these buildings and these rooms look like. And so the girl showed Leanne her room and wow, just to like give her a tour and everything. And there was some sort of like hamster or gerbil or some sort of animal that was not supposed to be in there.
What?
And the girl was like, oh, like, please don't tell anyone. And Leanne's like, I couldn't give two shits. Like, I'm not going to tell anyone. Don't worry.
What is in it for me to tell someone about?
Right. That? Right.
But yeah, I mean, I guess to wrap up the partying to parenting, it went from, like you said, vodkas and Red Bulls, Washington Street. I think the biggest change is probably the time, 2 a.m. Because if I find the right setting, I'll have a vodka Red Bull, despite Taylor not wanting me to, but it'll be one just to have it for the taste. Or if I know I'm going to be out late, I need it for the energy more than the alcohol at this point. Two, like I said, I'd rather stay home, have a couple beers, maybe six, depending on how good the sporting event I'm watching is going, and just hang out and play cribbage or sit on my phone. Don't get me wrong, you put me in the right scenario, and I'd still like to do it, especially with the right people. Like, if you and Jake could get up here, I know we've been talking about my 30th this summer and sharing a party with Steve, I guess, which I'm okay with. It's at someone else's house, so I can just show up, drink, and leave.
That's all you need to do.
Really. But it's still in me. You just got to put me in the right scenario. I know I'm in a bachelor party this summer. We're going to Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, which probably means nothing to most people. It means nothing to me because I've never even been there. But apparently it's a really ritzy city.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Oh, you've been there?
Yeah, we went for Shelby's wedding was in Lake Geneva, and we went early, and one, we wish would have stayed. Two, we went to lunch, and yeah, it's very ritzy. Like, you'll see it right away.
Eric says it's the Hamptons of Wisconsin.
Oh, I believe it. Yep.
And we rented a complete cabin on the water through Airbnb, and I only know the groom and one other guy, and the rest of the party I've never met in my life. But I would imagine that the party side of me will come out then, because it's a bachelor party. What else do you do? Especially if it doesn't sound like we're doing anything. We're just got a cabin on the water, drinking. I'd imagine in Wisconsin, beanbag boards will be brought, or cornhole, whatever your audience relates to the most. And I hope we rent a pontoon. I know that's been talked about. Because if you're on a cabin on the water, I feel like you have to do that.
Yeah, that'll be a riot either way, it sounds like.
So I'm excited to go there. So I think it could come back out. So the party side of me is still lives within. It's dormant. I think about the next day a lot more than I did. Actually, completely more, because let's be honest, when we were in college, I don't think we thought about it. If we had to work at Best Buy at 6 a.m. the next day, it didn't matter. We were going to make it work somehow.
Kyle, this is off topic, but I feel like I need to ask while we're talking about it. You said bean bags or cornhole, whatever your audience would understand or relate to more. What do you call it?
Cornhole.
Okay. I would too. Or
bags. I guess I think I'd call it bags more than anything.
Let's go with this or that segment real quick. Soda or pop?
Soda. It's definitely not pop.
It's pop. What is, though, I will say, living in Wisconsin for a while, I did start to catch myself. Like, if I wasn't thinking about it, I would say soda in a conversation, be like, oh, I mean pop. What do you call, because you people are weird, what do you call the thing that you drink water out of? Like when you were in gym class and you needed to go drink water, what would you call that machine?
I honestly, whenever I have to bring this up to someone else, like when I'm initiating it, I avoid it because I don't think I have a normal. I say, I'm just going to go get a drink. But when you started asking the question and I knew where this was going, bubbler came to my brain first. I don't know if that's the normal or not. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to call it as a Wisconsinite, and that's why I avoid using either term. But bubbler came to my brain first, so that's my final answer.
Yeah, now that you say that, I guess I usually just say I'm going to go get a drink. I don't say, oh, I'm going to go to the water fountain.
Right, a water fountain, like, now that I'm processing it, because you put me on the spot on a water fountain, is like something in the middle of the park where you throw coins into. And a bubbler, to me, instinctively, would be where I go and get a drink.
Hold on. Because now I'm thinking about, you know, when you're at a theme park and they have those holes in the ground that water shoots out of them, and some of them are just like malfunctioning and so it's bubbling up.
Uh-huh.
That's a freaking bubbler. It's like constantly bubbling.
I would call that a bubbler.
The drinking fountain isn't bubbling. It's spitting water out.
So where does bubbler come from?
Well, now I have to Google this quickly.
But I call it neither. I consciously don't use either term because I don't want to piss someone off in my state and call it the wrong thing.
Cheese curds or fried pickles?
Cheese curds. I hate pickles.
Well, I guess that was an easy answer for you then.
I love
fried them. Fried or fresh?
Either one's good. The fresh ones with that squeak. Anyone who's had a squeaky cheese curd knows what I'm talking about. Can't be beat. But at the same time, like, tomorrow we're going out to dinner. I'm probably going to want cheese curds as my appetizer because that's like a go-to. Or when I go to Quick Trip, I have a hard time saying no to cheese curds if they're out on the hot food area because they're just so good. Like, you know me, I don't eat healthy. If it's not good for you, I like it. And cheese curds that are fried are definitely not good for you, and I love them.
Yeah, you and me both.
But if I go to the store, like if I go grocery shopping, I go to Meijer. And I think it's because I live in Wisconsin. I'd say probably twice a month, right at the front of the store, right when you walk in, there's a small little table. And they have bags of cheese curds for $5. And they're from a local place. And they're the squeakiest things you can get. And I never have intentions of buying them. But if you see them there, you can't pass them up because you know they're good cheese curds. And they're not fried. They're fresh. But you know they're squeaky. And they are delicious. And I eat half the bag before I go home. I don't know how many times I've walked into a store or a gas station and I've seen fresh cheese curds and I'm like, this is probably the only place in the country where you just buy cheese and just eat it just for your drive because it's there and you like it.
I do have one more question for you, but I want to...
this or that. I like this segment.
Oh, I don't have another this or that for you. I should start a new segment though. That is just like something random like that.
I like it.
While I look at this bubbler stuff, or before I make the comments about the bubbler stuff, I wanted to ask as we wrap up that segment on, and why do I not have segments? Why do I not start segmenting? Wow, look at all these ideas that are true. If we've done a podcast before or not, all these fresh ideas are coming out. So I'm not a parent other than two dogs, which is absolutely, I absolutely recognize that it is not the same as children at all. Question, because I'm naive and I think this would be interesting to know. Does having an additional child, so going from one child to two children, does that change anything in terms of the way that you are parenting than you would with one child? Because now you have a little bit of an older child and a younger child. And so... I don't know, like they're both at different phases in life. And so does that change the way that you're parenting, or are you still parenting the same way and you just are adding in additional things now of, this is what sharing is like. This is what.
I think that's a better way to do it. Like initially when you were asking it, I was like, no. And then I thought, yes. And then when you continue with the question, like definitely yes. And then when you said, is it like the same but different or adding on things, I think that's the best way to do it. Cause like overall we're still trying to like parent them and like teach them things and make them good people over like just through how we parent. But things that are added on is like if Ellie, the older one, is misbehaving, like it's like, okay, the add-on is okay, you need to be a big sister and set an example for your younger sister, which obviously we wouldn't have did with one, because then you can't really use that as leverage. And then the other big thing too is like the best comparison I've had it is when we were with just Ellie, it's zone defense. Taylor and I can work together to contain her. Now with two, it's man to man. And like we were talking about, I think it was before we started recording, I'm Ellie's primary parent and Taylor is Reese's primary parent, because biologically there's things as a male I cannot do. So Taylor just has to naturally spend more time with Reese to take care of her needs that I can't. So that's definitely changed, because when we're both home, my focus is on Ellie, Taylor's focus is on Reese. Obviously we still try to parent both of them, but it just how it happens, I think. And then the other big change too, which I'll live tomorrow, is when I'm home alone with both the girls, what parenting just Ellie was a lot easier, because it's just focusing on her. What do you want to do? Get her fed, get her changed, make sure she's not doing anything stupid or breaking anything. Tomorrow I have to entertain the toddler while essentially watching the Reese, because she's only 4 months. She can't do anything, but Ellie's not going to want to sit in the chair and just keep her sister quiet and content all day. So that's, I would say the biggest change is you can't just be one tracked with the one kid. You have to divide your attention, and it's not dividing it the same way. It's not like I'm making sure Ellie and Reese are both playing and happy. It's keeping Ellie entertained and playing and getting something out of her day while making sure Reese doesn't roll over and get stuck under something or poop up her back, or there's just a lot. So yeah, overall it definitely changes things. I think the core of how we are parents is still there, but there's a lot of added things that you need to do, or to be honest, manipulation you use, because now you can leverage the little sister on the big sister with the, hey, you need to set a good example. Like, you can't be crying. You're the older sister. Because if you cry, she'll cry. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a balancing act, basically.
I feel like it could almost be compared to dogs. Like, when you had your one dog, you had to feed him, water him, get him outside. That's it. and play with them. And when you had that brand new, Simba's your older, right?
Simba's the older one, yes.
So when Nala came along, you had to entertain Simba still probably, but make sure Nala wasn't chewing your furniture or pooping on your floor. It's kind of the same thing, but add a diaper for the pooping part.
Yeah, it's true. And then they start to feed off of each other, which is sometimes good and sometimes not as good.
Yeah.
And you'll see that as they get older too, I'm sure.
Yeah, that happens with kids. Like I touched on earlier, if Ellie's crying for whatever the reason may be and Reese is content, Reese will eventually feed off that and cry just because she hears, I think, the commotion, and that scares her, or I don't know, just wakes her up sometimes. So yeah, things definitely change. You learn new tricks. You learn new defensive schemes, for a sports analogy that I feel like most people can relate to. And that's the best way I had it described to me when I was getting ready for two. But the core is still there. Like, we're still trying to teach them to, like, I don't know, we still try to read to them every day. Manners, even though obviously Reese can't talk, it's just exposing her to it all the time. So she picks it up. So it changes, but it doesn't.
Kyle, so I want to go back to this bubbler thing, and then I want to bring us to our last segment, as you will. Well, our second to last segment, because then we still have our Trent Speaks questions. But if you, so as a listener, if you Google, where does the term bubbler come from? You can read as many of these articles as you want to, but I think that they're potentially all saying the same thing. So I found this really interesting from one of the articles that I clicked on, which was from WUWM 89.7 Milwaukee's NPR. And the title of this was, "Why Do Wisconsinites Call That a Bubbler Anyway?"
So I am right for my state.
Right. So in the state, yes, people call it a bubbler. I don't know if they're saying that's the most common term, but they're saying people call it a bubbler. And there is a very large question of why.
Uh-huh.
There is a story that Kohler Water Works employee by the name of Harlan Huckleby designed the bubbler in 1888. It was then patented by the company, which trademarked the name. However, the only problem with the story, as this article says, is that none of it's true. And I opened up another article and it gave me the exact same thing. It started to tell me that story. And then they also worded it where it said, it's a great story, but all of it's false.
So the person that created it and termed it, that didn't exist?
So it says, while Kohler did eventually create a design called a bubbler in the 1920s, the term actually predates that style of water fountain. So then it asks, well, where did the term come from? But I'll be honest, I didn't read down that far into the article to continue to talk about this. I just read up to that point, so I would at least have enough to talk about it here. But yes, so it sounds like there is this myth. Oh, then they actually do use the word myth. People have often fallen prey to the myth of Harlan Huckleby. Yeah. So they use this story of Harlan Huckleby, this employee, saying that, you know, it was designed and everything, but that story isn't true.
I'm just glad that I instinctively, when I had to choose one of the two, chose the right one for my state then. Oh, so I like beer, I like cheese, and I call it a bubbler. I'm true to Wisconsin.
You are a true Wisconsinite.
I just need to support the Packers now.
Oh, geez. Don't even get me started on that.
It won't happen. Don't worry. I'm cheering.
Just real quick, since you brought it up. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be there after this season?
Yeah.
There's a lot of drama with him this year.
There was. They, as much as I don't want them to, I think the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl, and how do you walk away from that? Unless he just retires. That's the only way he's leaving, but I don't even see that. They're going to win the Super Bowl. He'll stay. Adams will stay. their core is there. They're not going to get worse. I mean, they argue. I mean, obviously they weren't like the Ravens with everyone hurt, but they had their fair share of injuries to battle through this year, and they still are in a position to, I honestly think, win the Super Bowl.
Fun fact. Well, I'm going to butcher his name. Malik?
Who?
We'll say Malik Taylor from the Packers.
Okay.
Is it Malik?
I don't know. I'm not a Packer fan.
Malik? I'm going to say Malik.
Dreads and glasses?
What?
Is he the guy with dreads and glasses?
I don't think
so. I just saw him on the news today. Someone with the last name Taylor. Anyways.
No, he doesn't have glasses. Anyway, he is a Packer. And actually, he went to Fair State. He played for Fair State. Really? And then was drafted by the Packers. Yeah. And he actually plays. He's a starter.
I got to go. I think it's the things they're talking about. Or I think who you're talking about is who I saw on the news today, because they were talking about if he would be playing Saturday or not.
Oh, interesting.
Nope. Definitely not the same guy. Yeah. Don't know about him. He's a wide receiver. And when you have Devontae Adams, I feel like you don't get a whole lot of attention outside of that.
That's fair. Kyle, we talked a little bit about this before we started recording. We've been talking about it even outside of talking about the podcast and everything. But I want to ease into this and work our way into it. You told me the last time you had probably worked out was before your first daughter was born, correct?
Correct, which is March of 2019. So almost 3 years.
And that is insane, because now you are doing a fundraiser for St. Jude's and riding miles and miles and miles and miles on a stationary bike.
Correct. Yeah. I would do it outside, but when I don't have a bike, I will by this summer. Dude, it's too cold. Because if anyone hasn't caught on, I live in Wisconsin.
Talk to me about how the St. Jude's thing came to be. You haven't worked out for 3 years. Why now?
So my wife, Taylor, for those who don't know her, has been talking about wanting we call it an exercise bike, for a long time. I would probably say 6 months, and we just keep pushing it off because it's an expense we don't need. And to be honest, I thought it would be something that would be cool for a week or two, and then it would turn into an expensive clothes rack. But finally one day, her and I, we have a Costco membership. We both love Costco. Anyone who doesn't have it, go get it. You will thank me later. We saw that Costco had an exercise bike on sale for $300 one day. It wasn't a Peloton, but essentially the same thing, just not the brand. So we actually went to go buy it. And I said, if it's there, it's meant to be. If it's not, whatever. So we went, it was out of stock. I got all excited and she got all bummed. And then the way home, we passed another sporting goods store. And I said, do you want to go in there and just look, see what they have? So we did. And long story short, we went in there, found one for even cheaper. Definitely wasn't what we were looking for, but it's still an exercise bike at the end of the day. It's just much simpler. So we bought that, brought it home, set it up. And this was New Year's Eve. All of it was New Year's Eve. I'm watching the ball drop, or waiting for the ball drop, at like 10:30, past my bedtime, as we've discussed. And I'm scrolling through my news feed, and this St. Jude 200-mile biking challenge came on my news feed. And I'm not a super like watch the stars believer, but I do believe in like fate and destiny. And like, this is on my news feed for a reason. I have a soft spot for St. Jude. I've wanted to donate to them forever. I will in February when they do their local fundraiser here. But that came across my news feed. I'm like, we just bought a bike that I have no intention of using myself, but this fundraiser came across for St. Jude, and I have a soft spot for St. Jude. I said, so this is fate. This is meant to be. I'm going to do this fundraiser. I need to get in shape. It's been almost 3 years since I've exercised. So I just literally at 10:30 at night, I did my first ride on New Year's Eve for 5 miles, created the fundraiser. And the rest is history. I finished my 200 miles on January 15th. So 15 days in, I did my 200 miles, which blows my mind to go from almost 3 years of zero exercise to 200 miles in 15 days with two kids. And my team has raised $620 to date. And the fundraiser is open through January. I feel like everything fell into place for a reason. It was super, like I said, it's been something I've been super passionate about doing. Anytime I get a chance to raise money for St. Jude, even myself, I do it. Like, my family's been on, four or five cruises. And they do a groove for St. Jude where you buy a t-shirt and they have a dance party. So every time I've been on a cruise, I buy the shirt. So it just feels good to do something that's for me and the exercise aspect and getting in better shape for my health and for my girls, but also raise money for a fundraiser that I'm super passionate about. And why it hit home to me the most, I think this is kind of the ribbon on top, is Ellie had her seizure this summer. And as I posted when I first started this fundraiser, that scared the shit out of Taylor and I, pardon my French. But in the grand scheme of things, that was nothing. So to think how scared we were when Ellie had a seizure and we had to go to the ER by ambulance versus what parents that have kids battling cancer went through, that's really what motivated me. Like, there were days where I was tired and I didn't want to do it. Like, as you know, we went snowboarding last weekend and I had 16 miles to go. I didn't want to bike 16 miles before I went snowboarding the next day, but kids that are battling cancer don't get to pick and choose when they have to really push and battle. So I got on that bike. I did my 16 miles. I went snowboarding the next day. And then when I got home, I let my legs die for the day.
Well, good for you for saying, I'm not going to make any excuses. And no matter what it is I have going on, I'm going to push through. That's true dedication right there.
And that's what Taylor and I use with each other. Like, she's at, I think, 136 miles after tonight. And she's had nights where she's tired. And I'm like, no, kids with cancer don't get to be tired. They still have to go do their stuff. You go do it too. So I'm at 216 miles, I think, right now, because the goal was 200 miles for $200. I had some very generous donors right away and got my $200 within 12 hours. So I kept raising the bar up and up with tokens for my donors, like getting pied in the face recently, or a bucket of ice down my pants for 2 minutes. But overall, so when I first got my 200 miles, I said, okay, that happened way too fast. If I can get to $400, I'll do 400 miles by Ellie's birthday, which she's the one that had the seizure, for those who don't know her. So as it sits, I'm at 214 miles out of my 400 that I now owe my donors by March 15th.
Oh, I've got time.
And the fundraiser is open for the month of January. So for anyone who wants to donate, I believe Trent will make an arrangement to make that possible through this podcast.
Yes, I will. We were trying to do this before the podcast and I said, you know what? This isn't your problem. I will figure out logistically how to get the link for the fundraiser into the episode description so that you can donate. Let's try and get Kyle he's at $620 right now. Let's try and get him to $1,000 if we can. I don't think that's asking a whole lot. $380 from those that listen. So please and send your friends and family that way as well. Once you have the link in the episode description, you can donate to the St. Jude's fundraiser that Kyle is doing. If I'm not able to figure it out, then I will at least post my Venmo or something so that you can Venmo me and I will make sure that Kyle gets that money. Just tag it with St. Jude's or some sort of designation so that I know that that money is for Kyle and not you being generous to myself.
Well, I appreciate that. And I literally thought about it as you were talking. Since you threw out the $1,000, that's kind of where I've been flirting with. If I can get to $1,000, I will, since I'm in Wisconsin, I have plenty of this to play with. I will throw on swim trunks and go jump in the snow and roll around in my yard. And of course, get a video that I'll share to the fundraiser page so that everyone who donated, which will then be on the page, will get to at least get some entertainment out of. I've been doing stuff like that on top of increasing my miles that I'll pledge. to motivate people to donate, because a little bit of pain for me is nothing compared to what those kids are going through. And like I said, it all circles back to when Ellie had her seizure, like how scary that was for us. Like, that's nothing compared to what these kids and their families are going through. So I'm legitimately diagnosed allergic to the cold. I have an EpiPen for the cold because I can break out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, last winter. So I'll jump into the snowbank and risk my own health and have to use my EpiPen if we can get to $1,000 for these kids.
Oh my goodness, Kyle. Kyle, I feel like we're in a really good moment to move into Trent Speaks questions. So let's start with this one. Give me what's been the most impactful event or moment that's shaped who you are at this point in your life.
Impactful event or moment?
That was the question, yes.
Need to try to think about what I said last time and not repeat it on the fly here.
See, but that's the thing with these is I've asked repeat guests before these same questions, because whether you have the same answer or not, like obviously it's something that you want people to know. So even if you were to have the same answer as whatever you said the first time, it just shows that you're really reiterating your point or really trying to drive home a particular point.
I think said, well, I know last time, cause this didn't happen since last time, it has changed it going back to Ellie's seizure. That's hands down in my life, the most impactful moment in my life for a variety of reasons. Obviously, like I touched on, it was scary, but I think the biggest thing that we took away from it after it was all said and done is that, and this is primarily going to be for anyone, I guess, in a relationship or maybe a strong friendship with someone, is that your communication and your teamwork is vital in life. I mean, we went from a normal, what was it, Saturday morning where we were just sitting around watching Cocomelon to I looked over, Ellie was seizing, Taylor was in the other room with Reese, and I yelled for her and we just like instinctively worked together and got through it. Like I froze to a point, but I knew to call Taylor in the room. And then when Taylor came in the room, she knew to physically like roll Ellie off the couch into a safe spot so she could go through her seizure. And while that was happening, I knew to call 911. And by then I was calm. So I think that's been my most impactful moment, especially since last time we talked. And it's changed how I see things moving forward, because the people that you're close with and that you are doing life with, whether that's a partner, wife, husband, whatever it may be, close friend, good coworker. If you have that good relationship, when you hit those moments, I've learned you're gonna get through them and you're gonna thrive in them because you guys just like feed off each other. And that, I guess, impacts me moving forward, because it's like, okay, if we can get through that, there's nothing we can't get through. And that could work with, like I said, in my situation, it was my wife. It could work with maybe a friend that you don't stay in touch with as much because life happens. Obviously, hopefully, like two friends don't get together and someone has a seizure and they have to go through a medical crisis. But overall, like if you've got a friend and they, I don't know, let's say they lose someone or they have a major life change, that relationship you've been building your whole life, you'll see it come to fruition in that moment. So that's really impacted me, because it just, I'm trying to like tie this all together, but I don't know how. Like when push comes to shove, your people are your people and you're going to work together really well. And that's good to like go to bed every night knowing. Cause let's be honest, we're married. Anyone who's married, you're married. You argue with your wife, I'm assuming. But when push comes to shove, it's good to know that no matter what, even on a good day, bad day, I don't remember if we were having a good, bad, or in-between day that day, but when shit hit the fan, pardon my French again, we were able to work through it like seamlessly. Like you would think we were trained for that moment, which obviously we weren't. So that's, I think, been my most impactful thing since we've last talked, and just overall, whatever my last impactful thing was, I'm sure this trumps it. Plus, I mean, it motivated me. Like, look at the St. Jude thing. I went from a slug that hadn't worked out in 3 years to riding 200 miles in 15 days because that moment impacted me so much I wanted to do something about it.
Kyle, I don't think I asked this question last time around because it just started really happening at some point. And I think it was when, all right, I have to stop because you put this in front of the, so I record a little bit differently every time. I prefer recording on Zoom if I can, because I think pulling the audio is great. It's sometimes phone call people that like that works better for them. Okay. But the reason I say it's because we're on Zoom right now and I just watched Kyle pour a Bud Light seltzer.
Yeah.
It was green. It was green. And that's what threw me off about it.
The green sour apple. They're actually really good.
Okay. My girlfriend, Sarah, had sent me a picture a couple weeks ago that I think her mom, when she had COVID, her mom had bought her alcohol while she had COVID.
What better time? I heard
she had the sour seltzers. Are they any good?
So last time we bought a specialty pack of Bud Light seltzers was the Christmas ones 2 years ago.
Oh, I've heard they're
all horrible. If you've had one, you know, not a single one was good. These are all delicious. The green apple is not necessarily my favorite, but I just grabbed what I could without interrupting the podcast as much as possible. It's got really good flavor. It's probably the most sour of the four, so that's why I don't like it as much, but it's still really good. I've heard if you pour all four together, they taste great, but that might take me back to partying days, and I'm not waking up tomorrow, especially when I'm alone with both the girls after having four seltzers at once.
Yeah, I don't know why, because this is probably not comparable at all. I don't know why, but you saying mixing all four together just makes me think of Four Loko for some reason.
And honestly, I'm the same way.
And the Four Loko, the real Four Loko, not we're going to pull all of our Four Lokos off the shelves, take out a bunch of whatever, and then put them back on the shelves. Like, we had the real Four Lokos.
I could even say this one by itself kind of reminds me of one, especially now that we bring it up.
Do you just move? Are you on do you just move something with the microphone?
No.
Or no?
I moved my screen back a little bit.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. All right. Here's my question for you. What is it that you have learned about yourself?
What is it that I have learned about myself? That's a very broad question. Are you talking recently or overall?
I would say overall, yeah.
I mean, I feel like this is conceited, is that the word? But ever since, I'm trying to make sure this is, I know you said it doesn't really matter, but ever since our first podcast, I've had the second kid, so I feel like a lot of things are learned in that transition. And not to sound conceited, but I feel like I've learned I can handle a lot more than I think I can. I think having your first kid, everyone probably is like, okay, I'm obviously transitioning into parenthood. That's a huge change. Unless you have two really, 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 really easy babies, which I'm envious. Having our second kid has taught me that, like I said, I'm capable of a lot more than I think I can. At the same time, I've also learned I need to be more patient. Ellie was such a good baby for our first baby that I think we kind of got babied into it, for lack of a better repetitive word. She slept by 2 months old. She was never fussy. I mean, she was like an angel baby.
You were spoiled.
Yeah, there you go. And Reese is colicky. She's a good baby, but she's colicky. She's needy. So that's where I think I need to have more patience, but coming back to, I can do more than I think I'm capable of. 2 weeks before Reese was born, we bought a new house. So we've got buying a new house stress, moving, unpacking, then a new baby. Then the baby is not necessarily the greatest, having to go back to work, taking care of the new house. We've got a bigger house, which means you've got more to clean, more to take care of, more to be responsible for, just juggling all that. So I think that's probably the biggest thing I've learned about myself recently and overall is when you think you're at your limits, like AKA having a first kid, you're not. So, I mean, even now I feel like I'm at my limits. I'm not getting to a third kid. I will stand my ground on that with Taylor, but it's something good that I've learned about myself is if I ever come to a day where I feel like, holy cow, I'm at my max, I know that I thought my max was what it was 2 years ago. And clearly it's not because I'm thriving with what life has given me now. Does that make sense? Does that answer that question?
Yeah. You know, when people say, like, does that answer that question? The answer is whatever you want the answer to be. There is no answer to the question. But yes, no, you added closure to the way you responded, if that.
Okay, I wrapped it up. Helps.
Yes, you wrapped it up. Hanging. Yes. And
come back for a third.
And you know, yeah, and we just won't remember that you were on a second time. And you know, my favorite question is, of course, the last question. And I know you are an avid listener of the podcast, or have been in the past. I know things have been a little bit busier for you lately with being home and the kids and everything. So you're not at work to be able to turn you on in the background.
Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, now you're good.
I work in a prison again. So actually I can't listen as much as I used to, cause I don't work from home anymore. Cause I can't have my phone in prison, but I still try to listen.
Yeah. That would be kind of difficult.
I think what you're getting at is that I know this question's coming.
Yes. Yes.
I've been thinking about it.
You could probably even word it at this point.
I don't know about that, but I've thought about what I want to answer.
What do you want people to take away from you and this podcast? So whether it is something you've talked about, maybe it's not something you've talked about. What do you want people to take away when they listen to this podcast?
I don't think it's something I've touched on yet, but like I said, I knew this question was coming. So I've been thinking about it. And just since the last time we've talked and life overall has happened for me, what I want people to take away is that you cannot control someone else's emotions. What I mean by that is we live in a society where everyone, I shouldn't say everyone, that's a very broad statement, but a lot of people try to please a lot of other people. Or not even that, a lot of people, yeah, a lot of people try to please a lot of people. They try to do things that satisfy other people. Since you and I have last talked, I've had a variety of situations, both personal and professional, where my actions make someone upset. And my like broken record is you're entitled to your feelings, but I can't control them. And that's the truth. And I learned that from my old job, is that no matter what you do, you can't, me, you, anyone cannot control anyone else's emotions. So live your life for you and don't, I'm not saying like be an arrogant a-hole and just do things and know it's going to make someone mad or offend them, but don't live your life worrying about what your action or decision is going to affect their feelings. Cause you can do everything perfectly and they can still come out hurt or offended or whatever negative feeling can come out of it. And since I've really taken on that, I don't know if mantra is the word, but sure, let's run with it. Since I've taken on that mantra that your feelings are yours, I can't control them. I can change them, but I can't control them. I've just really learned to make decisions for myself and do the best for me and for my family and for those that are in my circle. And if someone outside of it doesn't like it or gets offended or whatever, as long as I didn't do it with ill intentions to wrong them, I did what was best for me, my family, my circle, and I can sleep at the end of the night. So that's what I've been preparing ever since we decided we were going to do this again. Even though you didn't know it was again.
Exactly. Exactly. Kyle, well, thank you for coming on the podcast again. I appreciate it as always. And we'll definitely have to have you back after you have your third child. Kyle, so you obviously know that you get to take us out. So why don't you...
forgot about.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Why don't you do us the pleasure?
Well, thank you all for coming to the Trent Speaks podcast. I would appreciate your support greatly if you could donate to my St. Jude fundraiser, which closes on January 31st. So we've got plenty of time. Every dollar makes a difference. Whether it's $5, $50, $500, your dollars do make a difference for those children and their families that are battling cancer and going through the experience. So thank you so much for listening and for supporting Trent and his podcast. And you guys all have a good night.